It is time for lesson number 9 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. What I'm doing in this is letting your teacher be E.A. Elam, a preacher from years past. He wrote a number of Sunday school lessons that I have in a little book, and these are the lessons prepared for 1922. In fact, the lesson I'm going to be reading was prepared for January 5th, 1922. And this lesson is about Elijah's challenge of the prophets of Baal. We were getting into this study last week just as this challenge was about to begin. What had happened was the people of Israel had, under the leadership of old King Ahab, had turned away from Jehovah to worship the prophets of Baal. Now, there was a drought in the land that was caused by God, and Elijah had announced that this drought would come. And 3 years into this drought, Elijah issued the challenge to the prophets of Baal to meet him at Mount Carmel and see just who was and who was not God. They would each build altars, and the prophets of Baal would cry to Baal to take their sacrifice, and he would ask Jehovah to take his. And so this was just about to begin in our last class, and we're going to take up where we left off. This is 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, where it says, Elijah came near unto all the people and said, how long go you limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now here are the explanatory notes that E.A. Elam wrote for this lesson of January 15th, 1922. Then Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long go ye limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. The people hesitated and were undecided between Jehovah and Baal. Clark's commentary makes the following pertinent remark. They were halt. They could not walk uprightly. They dreaded Jehovah and therefore could not totally abandon him. But they feared the king and queen, and therefore thought they must embrace the religion of the state. Their conscience forbade them to do the former. Their fear of man persuaded them to do the latter. But in neither were they heartily engaged. At this juncture, their minds seemed to equipose, and they were waiting for a favorable opportunity to make their decision. Such an opportunity now, through the mercy of God, presented itself. Indecision between right and wrong is a decision in favor of the wrong. Too many now are limping between the two sides. God's true and loyal servants, like Elijah, are decidedly and wholly for his way. Joshua put this test to the people in Joshua 24:14-15, to whether they were going to serve God or not, and he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. To Elijah's exhortation, the people then made no response. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only am left a prophet of Jehovah, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of Jehovah. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Number 2, the challenge accepted. This is 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 25 through 29. And here are the explanatory notes. The above was a challenge for a fair test. This the people saw, and they accepted it. The prophets of Baal also accepted it. When the bullocks were brought, Elijah allowed them to choose one and proceed first, for they were many. This was logically right, because Baal worship had been introduced where God's worship prevailed, and the prophets of Baal were logically bound to show the superiority of their God. This was a contest between a false God and the true God, a false religion and the true religion, corruption and righteousness, licentiousness and virtue. 450 prophets on one side and one true prophet of God on the other side. This is one of the greatest victories of right over wrong and truth over error on record. A thousandfold would we rather be on Jehovah's side in this or any other struggle, although like Elijah alone, than to be on the popular side and wrong. He who follows the popular side to do wrong is strongly condemned. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak that is bear witness in a cause to turn aside after a multitude to wrest justice. Exodus 23 and verse 2. So now we must choose the right and serve God truly, like Elijah, even if we be alone. We must do this at all hazards. The prophets of Baal prepared their bullock and called on the name of Baal from morning unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped about the altar which was made. From morning unto noon they called unto Baal, but received no answer. As the time passed, and they received no answer, they became more frenzied until they leaped about the altar. They danced around it with strange and hideous cries and gesticulations, tossing their heads to and fro with a great variety of bodily contortions. Well, that's the way Adam Clark explained it. See a description of the dance and the lavishness in the book called Lands of the Bible. Then Elijah, in the keenest sarcasm and bitterest irony, with the most withering ridicule known in all literature, began to mock them, saying, Cry aloud, for he's a god. Of course, it requires loud calling in order to make a god here. Either he is musing, or he's gone aside, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. They did cry aloud, and not only so, but they cut themselves after their manner with their knives. In the margin, the American Standard Version says, they cut themselves with their swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. It was customary in idolatrous worship as a kind of penance to satisfy their God for the worshippers to punish themselves with such bodily afflictions as those just mentioned. They confessed their sins, lashed themselves with whips knotted with bone or iron, cut themselves with swords or lances, until indeed the blood gushed out. Thus these prophets of Baal acted in a wild frenzy, growing more frantic until the time of the offering of the evening oblation, or it'd probably be, in our time, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. Number 3. God answers Elijah. After all the loud crying, wild gesticulations, and frenzied bodily afflictions of the prophets of Baal for about 9 hours had most signally failed, Elijah, full of faith in Jehovah and confidence with such faith inspires, called the people to him that they might see the fairness of this whole matter. He wanted them, too, to witness the result of this test. And he repaired the altar of Jehovah that was thrown down. This altar of Jehovah was probably built before the erection of the temple at Jerusalem. This altar had been thrown down by the enemies of Jehovah, 1 Kings 19:10. This Elijah first repaired, that his offering might be made on the altar, consecrated and acceptable to God. Our services today must be rendered in a manner acceptable to God. Elijah honored God in repairing the altar and obeying his commands, 1 Kings 18:36. And we can honor God now only as we conform to his way. Elijah took not 10, but 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. God was called the God of Israel after the 10 tribes revolted, to show he was still their God if they would serve him faithfully. Jacob was still the father of all 12 tribes. The name Jacob had been changed to Israel, a prince with God, Genesis 32:22-32. Jacob had been blessed by clinging to Jehovah in prayer, and Elijah was about to pray to him. This altar was to represent the whole nation, not some division of it. And with the stones, he built the altar in the name of Jehovah. Elijah was there by God's command, and this altar was built by his authority to honor his name, and it was entrusted to his care and protection to avoid the barest possibility of any charge of deception. A trench was made about the altar to be filled with water, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed, or as the margin says, 2 seah measures. That is, deep and wide enough for such a measure to sit in it. This measure contained 2 or 3 gallons. The altar erected and the trench dug. The wood was put thereon in order, and the bullock was cut in pieces and laid on the wood. This done, Elijah then directed that 4 jars of water be poured on the burnt offering and the wood. These jars were such as maidens used to carry water on their heads and held about 3 gallons. 12 jars of water were poured on. 36 gallons of water in all were poured on. The water thoroughly saturated the sacrifice and wood, running all through them and all over the altar, and it also filled the trench. This was done to show that there was no fire concealed about the altar to preclude any possibility or thought of a deception. Elijah not only built the altar according to God's directions, but the offering was made at the time of the evening sacrifice was offered to God. Everything was done in strict compliance with God's law. So we must now implicitly obey God in observing his order. Then Elijah addressed God as he frequently called as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel. God had promised to bless the descendants of these faithful men when these descendants were likewise faithful. And the descendants of these men, Elijah and the people, then addressed God. Elijah wanted them near, that as much as possible, this might be their prayer as well as his. Elijah desired this to be done for God's honor. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. This shows the faithfulness and loyalty of Elijah. In all this, Elijah was proceeding only as God commanded. To hear him whom God sends is to hear God. Elijah's prayer to God to hear him and consume, therefore the sacrifice for God's own glory and the salvation of his people, he prayed a calm and trustful spirit. God wrought miracles to convince the people that he had sent his servants and was with them, and to confirm the truth. We're going to have to bring this class to a close. We'll continue in the next session. This concludes this session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.